The Gnostic Spiritual Dilemma. Throughout man's history, he has perpetually demanded of the mystics who have journeyed beyond the three-dimensional limits of this world in search of true gnosis, that the mystic should then tell him all that he knows and has seen. Yet, organic man's own scriptures emphatically state that, without having walked the same path that leads to this greater enlightened understanding, that it is impossible for the mystic to convey what is portrayed as being incomprehensible to men of an organic mind and consciousness. When Paul stated that the natural mind of man will reject the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of God as utter foolishness, see mystery, he was in fact speaking to a congregation of Christians who he had himself visited and taught. Therefore, it must be acknowledged that if even those Christians who Paul personally taught could not at all understand what Paul portrayed as the mysteries of God without first achieving spiritual maturity and perfection, then who today can claim to have ascertained this esoteric knowledge which is portrayed as gnosis? On the mere authority of reading the literal text of the scriptures which Paul portrayed as the letter that killeth, see? Why did Paul portray the written text of the scriptures as the letter that killeth? Because they are an allegory, and unless their spiritual attributes are understood, and the key of knowledge that Jesus condemned the carnal Jews for throwing away is properly applied, then your assumptions and conclusions which are based upon the literal text will lead you in the wrong direction, see letter that killeth. Thus it is written, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Prov 14:12 KJV. Why? Because man's organic physical consciousness is limited in what can be understood, and unless the next stages of birth are brought about which permits expansion of the mind, man's own higher soul and spiritual reality will remain inconceivable to his organic thinking and mindset. Those lost prodigal sons and daughters who sincerely seek truth and the kingdom will slowly become privy to a very different perception and understanding of both themselves and the world in which they presently dwell. Where the literal written accounts of the scriptures are intended to prepare the seeker to begin to open the inner door of spiritual transformation. In order for this transformation to be brought about, the seeker must live a conscious and purposeful life, seeking the meaning of all that his senses and intuitive spheres of mind present to him. Why? One of the reasons that the scriptures are composed in a threefold allegorical form is because all of the images we perceive in the outer world as previously presented are themselves an allegorical illusion, that is an illusion which reflects back to us a condition and aspect of our own mind. See the great allegory of mind and matter. And as the seeker begins to uncover the inner esoteric meaning of the threefold allegory of the scriptures by applying the key of knowledge to the written word, they will not only begin to open the inner door to the kingdom, which will bring about their transformation, but they will begin to perceive and understand the threefold meaning of the allegorical symbols that are presented to their senses in the outer world, thereby enabling them to escape the illusion of the outer darkness that Jesus warned about. That the mystic is unable to convey to the untransformed people of this world that live in accord with the appetites of the flesh, that is, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Rom 8:13 KJV. The mystic who has lived the necessary life to acquire true gnosis, experiential spiritual knowledge of the inner kingdom, has been perpetually condemned as a heretic, fraud, and often tortured and put to death when he attempts to convey to others the truth that he has seen and experienced. With this timeless historical fact in mind, when we even begin to consider the realities of the divine pattern that permeates all of creation, in conjunction with the properties of a hologram, herein lies one of the great problems that few people comprehend the reality of. Because man sees himself as an individual, whole and complete in his present form, and is generally incapable of seeing and understanding the reality of the world in which he presently finds himself immersed. The result is that he finds himself a slave to the illusions of this world, which Jesus portrayed as the far country in the parable of the prodigal son, which results in the fact that, as a virtual mental slave that is shackled by his own ego to a state of profound blindness and ignorance, man dwells under the control of what Paul portrayed as the God of this world, that is, a reality and power of earthbound consciousness and being that Jesus called the citizen of the far country. Luke 15:15. The spiritual, Gnostic, Christians portrayed the organic consciousness of the earth as a demiurge, that is, the product of each man's limited beliefs and illusions which control every aspect of his thinking and life. In the analogy of Plato's cave, the few who escape the world cave of illusions and then attempt to come back into the cave and convey what they saw and experienced in the world of light and higher reality to those who are still in the cave are condemned as madmen. And because this is a universal statement which portrays the limitations of organic human consciousness, this remains profoundly true and applicable, even in our present time. Organic human consciousness is limited to the three dimensions of this realm and the environment of the physical body, which is comprised of the lower three kingdoms, and what was true in the time of Plato remains true today, and thus, from the perspective of the limitations of organic human consciousness and reasoning, absolutely nothing has changed. As an example of what I am stating, even if I attempted to apply the pattern of physical birth to that of the next stage of birth of higher mind and being, the vast majority of people would immediately reject what I am presenting to them. In fact, as the reality of gender begins to unfold at higher levels of mind and being, many will be greatly offended, and that the reality of man's true plight in this, the far country, is generally beyond the comprehension of man in his organic condition of mind, is why Paul stated that it was unlawful for him to reveal the higher reality that he witnessed, that is, truth, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. 2 Cor 12, 2-4 NKJ. And this higher reality that is beyond the comprehension of the organic mind of the believer, who has been thoroughly instructed in what Paul portrayed as the testimony of Christ, is why the first century elder Ignatius stated that might I not write to you things more full of mystery, but I fear to do so, lest I should inflict injury on you who are babes. Pardon me in this respect, lest, as not being able to receive their weighty import, ye should be strangled by them, and why Peter and James understood that even in the case of sincere seekers, it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. It is because the vast majority of mankind perpetually ignores and rejects the reality that these words present, that man finds himself shackled to his own self-imposed prison of absolute ignorance, while his ego self or human organic reasoning assures him that he can understand. It is this very belief that he can understand that limits his own growth and development. Perhaps one of the primary keys to the process of enabling the mind to understand why it is born inherently blind to the limitations of its own organic condition is to come to terms with the statement ignored by most Christians when Jesus stated with respect to those who are outside the inner core of his disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand." Mark 4:11-12 KJV. While the Christian world remains in denial of what these words meant, those who possess the eyes to see and understand comprehend that what Jesus is stating is that, unless you are one of the few who have overcome those conditions which cause man to be blind to higher reality, and not see, hear or understand what he sees, then it is impossible for you to understand anything of a higher order of mind and being. And this total lack of maturity is why Jesus could only speak to the multitude of people who were portrayed as being without, in parables. It is not that Jesus or his disciples wanted to conceal truths from the people, but rather, unless they begin to develop their minds through the process of becoming the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed, which brings about the necessary expansion and greater awareness, it is impossible for them to understand. In the parable Jesus warns, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Meaning that unless you ardently apply the principles presented in this parable to your own minds, being, and life, that it will be impossible for you to understand anything of any real value in both the scriptures, as well as the life that you are presently living. It is important to understand that while a parable conceals a mystical and spiritual truth, it also permits each person to understand in accord with their own condition of mind and being, and it is the great differences in this condition of mind that the vast majority of people cannot come to terms with. The term "without" indicates those people who are ruled over by their lower carnal earthly nature that Paul taught was necessary to overcome. Jesus portrayed this condition of being without as indicative of man in his organic state who is immersed in the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness. And even the prison that inhibits man from possessing any free will or elevated understanding of the higher realities of life, see the prison. And in the same way that Paul warned that even the baptized and confirmed Christians of the simple faith who he personally taught would condemn and reject the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom as foolishness. And Jesus warned that the untransformed mind of organic man was blind to man's own higher soul reality and could not comprehend with any understanding the vast majority of both believers and critics alike have simply refused to accept the validity of these warnings. Why? Why have they rejected and ignored this crucial warning that every seeker must first come to terms with? If they are to even begin to make any real gains, it is their own ego that causes them to imagine that they are somehow exempt from the limitations of the physical organic consciousness. Jesus taught that the multitude of people who walk in the broad way of this world are very much the dead who go in the way of self-destruction, and in similar wording, the modern scientist warns that man's thinking is so fossilized that he is in real danger of self-extermination. That is, the present scientific establishment has grown somewhat fossilized by its current world picture and is locked into a view of reality that has outlived its usefulness. It has begun to limit mankind's growth and has so increased its sense of specialization, separateness, materiality, and mechanical computer-like functioning that it is in real danger of self-extermination. William E. Tiller, Materials Sciences Department, Stanford University. From a scriptural perspective, those multitudes of people who have not done as Paul commanded and put to death their earthly nature by walking the path of transformation are portrayed as being without, while those who have themselves followed in the way and have been nourished by the divine manna of the kingdom are portrayed as being within the house. When properly understood with respect to living the necessary life that permits the expansion of mind to be brought about within the individual, in the same way that our culture promotes the Holocaust of the unborn in the form of abortion, the whole of our hedonist society is little more than a culture of death. Thus, the warning, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matt 10:28 NKJ. And a parallel verse out of the Gospel of Luke. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Luke 12, 4-5 NKJ. Our modern hedonist culture has the power to kill and cast the person into the hell of future tribulations. With respect to the reality of those who are portrayed in the Gospels as being without, in contradistinction to those who are in the house, the quotation of the early church father Origen represents an excellent portrayal of the reality of mind and being that is presented in these words of Jesus, wherein Origen writes in reply to the allegations of Celsus that the church is a secret system. See the secret doctrine. I have not yet spoken of the observances of all that is written in the Gospel, each one of which contains much doctrine difficult to be understood, not merely by the multitude, but even by certain of the more intelligent, including a very profound explanation of the parables, which Jesus delivered to those without, while reserving the exhibition of their full meaning for those who have passed beyond the stage of exoteric teachings, and who came to him privately in the house. And when he comes to understand it, he will admire the reason why some are said to be without, and others in the house. It can be said that the concept of being without is parallel to those who Jesus warned were in a type of prison, see the prison, or the outer darkness of mind and being, see the outer darkness, which Jesus warned was the fate of those who failed to put on the necessary wedding garment while walking in the way. While the multitude of people whose lives are ruled over by the appetites of the physical body have no possibility of understanding because of their carnal organic condition, those who Origen portray as the more intelligent are those, while still without, have begun to release themselves from what Jesus portrayed as the prison or the outer darkness of mind and being. Intelligence, as set forth by Origen, is measured by the degree that each person has overcome the inherent organic limitations of the body vessel and have begun to develop the higher areas of mind that is not supported by the body. And only those who have transformed the body into the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed, and developed and expanded the mind beyond organic limitations, are able to. Came to him privately in the house. And this is portraying the house that is within each of us. In the previous chapter entitled The Spiritual Disenfranchisement of the Mind, I quoted Peter in the homilies of his disciple Clement, where it is warned that any preconceived doctrinal or even organic human understanding of the scriptures must be seen as being fatally flawed, that is. Therefore, great care is to be taken that when the law of God is read, it be not read according to the understanding of our own mind. For there are many sayings in the divine scriptures which can be drawn to that sense which everyone has preconceived for himself. And this ought not to be done. For you ought not to seek a foreign and extraneous sense which you have brought from without. And that the conditions of one's inherent organic blindness and inability to comprehend man's own higher soul and spiritual reality must first be overcome, in order to begin to perceive not only the true meaning of the scriptures, but the true reality of the life that each person is living. The true reality of man is that he is a threefold being, and our physical birth is only the first stage of the necessary threefold birth process. And while the physical birth and body supplies the necessary foundation, the next stage of birth is that of mind. And herein lies the problem, that is, when you apply the reality of the divine pattern in conjunction with the inherent properties of a hologram to the physical, what we observe in the flesh of the physical is in and of itself threefold. The result is that the physical body itself is comprised of the lower three earthly kingdoms, mineral, vegetable, and animal, that makes up its cells and consciousness. Thus, in the allegorical account in Genesis it states, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Gen 1:26-28 in KJ. What is being allegorically presented is the reality that the earth which each person must subdue and have dominion over is the consciousness and lower natures of their own body vessel. All the images in the outer world, that is, the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth, is making reference to what these forms and symbols in the outer world represent within one's own body and mind. And it is these three lower kingdoms, that is, mineral, vegetable, and animal, which totally dominate the thinking and reasoning of organic man, that the Apostle Paul portrays as the people of a natural mind who are incapable of comprehending the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom of God, seeing natural mind. Thus, the quotation on the final temple that we cannot atone for our shortcomings by sacrificing animals, but we can sacrifice our inner animals or hormones, our lust, our desires, our beastly compulsions. We cannot find GD in Jerusalem. We must find him in us, see final temple. And it is these aspects of the consciousness of our lower nature that are presented to us in the allegorical forms in the outer world, that we must subdue and have dominion over within our own body, mind, slash soul, and being. Why is it written that the believers at Corinth were incapable of understanding anything beyond what Paul portrays as a very rudimentary and carnal understanding? Thus, Paul warns those who are under the delusion that they know and understand the true meaning of the gospel account. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. 1 Cor 3:2. Paul rightfully portrays them as babes in Christ, that is, a condition that Paul relates to the blindness of the natural mind of man in his organic consciousness. Why? Very simply, because man in his natural organic condition has only experienced the first and initial stage of birth. The carnal Jews were condemned by Jesus because they were counterfeit leaders and teachers who were totally ignorant of the threefold birth process that each person must undergo. This fact is presented in the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? John 3, 1-12 NKJ. These words were said to Nicodemus, because as a religious leader, he was obligated to convey to the people the absolute need to bring about the next stages of birth within themselves. The portrayal of we, that is, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness, is stated in the plural. Because this knowledge is true with respect to anyone who understands the laws and the esoteric meaning of the scriptures, and is able to bring about the next stage of birth. Adhere 8/18. It is clear that Jesus was not speaking of himself to the exclusion of others who of their own experiences perceived and understood heavenly things. And it was also clear that Jesus was conveying that all people who present themselves as a teacher in the manner that Nicodemus did must themselves understand the threefold process of birth as it is relevant to entering the inner kingdom. If, therefore, you call yourself a teacher or authority, and you fail to understand the threefold process of birth, then you are a pseudo-teacher, a pseudo-authority, or a pseudo-intellectual, which means that in both our religious institutions as well as systems of education, the pseudo-authorities convey the way of death that is. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Luke 12, 4-5 NKJ. The disciples were portrayed as being in the house, because each of them had brought about at least the next stage of soul birth, and were working on various stages of spiritual birth in the threefold process of birth. The disciples, therefore, not only understood the esoteric meaning of the parables, which the multitude of people were blind to, that is, unto you, the disciples in the house, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, in the outer darkness of mind and being. All these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand. Mark 4, 11-12 KJV. But they understood the esoteric nature of the illusions of this world. In the same way that all those who have yet to bring about the next stage of soul birth are, in Jesus' words, without, and are therefore blind and deaf to what exists beyond the vibrational frequencies of the earth, those who have brought about the next stage of birth and are portrayed as being in the house are those who Jesus portrayed in the plurality of the words. We speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. That mystics, who are true Gnostics the world over, throughout all of man's history, have known the great truth to this reality of the threefold birth, and that all of nature is imbued with a uniform allegorical reality of mind impressed into the forms of the outer world, is the reason why the ignorant critics of the scriptures and opponents of religion are under the grave misconception that each religion copies its tenets of belief from other religions. Thus, the DVD entitled The God Who Wasn't There states, the Jesus of the Gospels bears a striking resemblance to other ancient heroes and the figureheads of pagan savior cults, and yet, this statement, when rightfully understood, is representative of the same profound ignorance of Nicodemus and the carnal Jews who Jesus condemned as throwing away the key of knowledge and leading the people in the broad way of their own destruction. The fact that all religions employ the same symbolism is because the forms of nature are imbued with the lower aspects of mind that must be subdued and overcome within each person, and this is true the world over. Of the PBS series The Bible's Buried Secrets, archaeologist William Deaver of the University of Arizona stated, "It challenges the Bible stories if you want to read them literally, and that will disturb many people." In further examining the problem, the farther you go in the biblical text, the more difficult it is to find historical material in it, says David Ilan of the Hebrew Union College in Jerusalem. The patriarchs go back to Genesis. Genesis is, for the most part, a compilation of myths, creation stories, things like that. And to find a historical core there is very difficult. For instance, archaeologists have found evidence that a small group of Canaanite slaves escaped from Egypt, not the mass migration described in Exodus. What both the believers and the critics have yet to understand and acknowledge is the fact that the biblical authors, who were mystics, purposely wrote the scriptures with unhistorical assertions and events intertwined into the text, in order to inhibit the people from reading them literally or historically, thereby forcing the intelligence seeker to look beyond what Paul portrayed as the letter that killeth, and seek the inner esoteric meaning. All religions have a common theme and utilize the same allegorical forms. Why? Because all of nature is imbued with the allegorical symbols of mind that they represent. If a biology class in the United States teaches about the organs of the body, are they copying what is taught in England or the biology class in France? If a school in Brazil teaches about reproduction, are they copying what is taught in Canada? In the same way that man did not invent the organs and systems of the body, neither did man invent the allegorical symbols of mind with which all of nature is imbued. Once it is recognized that these symbols of mind are the same obstacles that confront Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, the Greek mystery religions of the ancient world, as well as every other path of mystical search for truth and the kingdom, then the uniformity of these symbols very quickly become apparent. Further, in the same way that all people the world over inhabit a physical body, and the forms of nature are universal across the spectrum of all of mankind, and their religions which attempt to resolve the dilemma of the lost prodigal sons and daughters, and it is the lower nature of mankind that comprises the structure of the physical body that rules over and totally dominates the thinking and awareness of organic man. That is often portrayed as the ego self that Paul warns must be overcome and diminished in order to enter into the higher realities of the soul and life that is put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, call 3:5 NIV, see overcome. And the fact that man has the potential to overcome the limitations of his organic nature, which is comprised of the lower three kingdoms, is not only the reason why Paul made such a statement, but is the whole purpose and higher objective of the teachings of Yeshua/Jesus and the Way. Important teachings that became corrupted under the heathenism of pagan Rome, the doctrines of which have inhibited the church and modern Christians who cling to them. Being comprised of the lower three kingdoms, mineral, vegetable, and animal, in its organic state. The physical body-mind, which is intimately connected to the brain and is often portrayed as the ego self, only supports the functioning and maintaining of the physical needs, appetites, desires, and experiences of the body as expressed in this physical world. And ultimately, what this means is that the laws which bring about the development of the organic mind does not naturally support any development beyond the vibratory earth frequencies of the physical body. In order to develop those areas of mind that are beyond the vibration and reality of the earth, the person has to consciously develop those higher areas of mind, in accord with the holographic reality of the divine pattern. In order to procure physical offspring, one must engage the opposite polarity as imbued in the division of gender. And when the divine pattern is understood, the holographic reality of creation provides us an edge that has the power to harness the laws to make them work to our advantage. In like manner with the physical, the laws of nature and nature's God have enabled man to conquer the limitations of the physical body and provide him the opportunity to bring about the next stage of birth beyond the physical. If the person properly and consciously engages the opposite polarity and become nourished by impressions that act as food for the mind, thus, as portrayed in the above mystic Gnostic spiritual objective, the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness. But since the pseudo-religious and philosophical authorities of this world are basically politically motivated by self-serving interests that are grounded in the carnal. The necessary means to develop, as well as the knowledge, remains esoteric at best and not understood by those who have not been reared and developed in the proper spiritual foundational environment. And once the thinking and mindset of a child and person has become hardened in the energy streams of the body, these energy streams become like rivers that are very difficult to change the direction of. When this happens, the person's pattern of thinking and cognitive abilities become fixed in accord with their mindset that has developed for the most part since childhood. This presents a problem, because few people are motivated to bring about the necessary changes that could not be understood in their organic mindset and thinking. What it all boils down to is the fact that few people are capable of escaping the limitations of their upbringing and mental development, and fewer yet can escape the cultural mindset and lifestyle that their respective societies immerse them in. And in the same way that the Flat Earth authorities in the time of Columbus supported man's cultural mindset not to sail too far out to sea, our modern pseudo-authorities, that is, political, religious, intellectual, and philosophical for largely self-serving interests, support the theory that the brain is the mind. And basically, no amount of factual evidence or esoteric knowledge will in any manner open the thinking of these pseudo-authorities to the higher reality that they choose to ignore and reject. The holographic pattern. In the manner of the very physical bodies in which we presently dwell, everything throughout all of creation is ordered, is functionally connected and intertwined in a dynamic living matrix, encompassing level upon level of mind and being. There is a holographic divine pattern that permeates all of creation, providing a uniformity that is predictably true within all levels of being. And once man's physical reality is properly understood, the inherent limitations of a holographic reality is also seen and understood as the very strengths that enables man to reverse the door of ignorance and see and perceive all things with a clarity that is remarkably clear. What this means is that regardless of where man's footsteps take him, he is constantly confronted by and even immersed in the very divine pattern that he must embrace on every level of his being in order to free himself from his own self-imposed shackles, which Jesus portrayed as the condition when the prodigal son is imprisoned in the far country. It is therefore because of the holographic nature of creation that the physical is seen as the pattern for all higher realities of mind and being. And this is why Paul stated that all men are without excuse with respect to the knowledge of God and the life that they are living, that is, because that which is known about God, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Rom 1:19-20. Which is also why Jesus questioned how Nicodemus could portray himself as a teacher and not possess this knowledge that is representative of the true facts of life. How can this be? How can all teachers and leaders, as well as all of mankind, be without excuse with respect to knowing the truth? It is because of the holographic divine pattern of creation that the knowledge is not only within them and can be sought therein, but this knowledge and the means to draw upon this inner source is presented to all men by virtue of the patterns and laws that not only lie before them but within which each person is immersed.